Our scripture today begins from John chapter 19, beginning with verse 41. At the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid. Because it was the Jewish day of preparation, and since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. Chapter 20, beginning with verse 1. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. And then, beginning with verse 11. But Mary stood outside the tomb, crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white sitting where Jesus' body had been, one at the head, the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Hello, Christ Church, and all of our friends joining us today. I'm so glad you're with us for online worship. If you're on Facebook or the website, say hello to other friends in the comment section. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, again, send them to us. We want to be praying with you. If you want to follow along with my outline, you can do that on the website or the Christ Church app. Throughout this Holy Week, we have remembered the events surrounding the last days of Jesus' life, his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, his Last Supper, the trial, the scourging, his crucifixion. The story that unfolds from the perspective of the four gospel writers is one that has captured human hearts throughout centuries and around the globe. And this Sunday morning, we celebrate the dramatic rest of the story, the resurrection. He is risen. He is risen indeed. When you and I look at it, Jesus' whole life was a sermon from God. God desired to speak to all of humankind. He had a message for all human beings, one that began in the Garden of Eden and continued with the covenant with Abraham, one that further unfolded with Moses and the prophets and the children of Israel, and one that reached its highest point with the coming of Jesus. Scholars and everyday folk alike have come to understand that in Jesus' life, God desires to communicate his heart, character, and will for humankind. God's heart is rooted in love and grace. We see that in Jesus. God's character is one of both holiness and compassion. We see that in Jesus. God's will for us is transformation and action. Jesus communicated that too. It's what John was talking about in the marvelous prologue of his gospel in John 1:1 when he writes, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then a little later in verse 14, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." The incarnation, Emmanuel, God with us, is the heart of the Christian gospel. God had a message to share and became one of us to share it. That aspect of our faith is unique in all the world. And so in the gospel record, we see how Jesus lived and communicated God's message. It's an amazing story that unfolds, and reading those gospels is always a boost to our faith. Matthew 9:35 says, "Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. We probably all have our favorite stories about Jesus, his teaching the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount, his healing the deaf, the blind, the lame, his casting out unclean spirits, his feeding the multitudes. And as we consider the wonder of his ministry, we celebrate Jesus' life. We see in his life God's message of love, grace, healing, and hope. And in Jesus' death, God desires to show the extent of his love for us. If love is an action, we see it most vividly displayed in Jesus willing, offering up his life for us. In the Garden of Gethsemane, we see Jesus didn't want to drink the cup that was coming, but he finally prayed, "Father, not my will be done, but thine." And then, even as he was being mocked and scorned by those in the crowd, Jesus prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." What kind of love is that? The same love that he has for you and me. Paul summarized it like this in Romans 5:8, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." We don't have to clean up our act before we come to Christ. He died for all our sins and shortcomings, past, present, and future. What kind of love is that? It's amazing love. The world takes us to a movie screen where images of passion and romance play out and says, "This is love." God takes us to the foot of a tree on which a naked and bloodied man hangs and says, "This is love." Now today, that understanding of love is so offensive to some, foolishness to others, but a means of peace and forgiveness to those who believe. We marvel at this death. We are mystified by this kind of love. We don't claim to completely understand the depth of its meaning and significance, but we stand in the light of God's gracious gift. And the story doesn't end there. In Jesus' resurrection, God desires to give us living hope, post-living in the chat. We live in a world full of many blessings, but also full of trials and tribulations as well. We celebrate the goodness of life, but we also experience the reality of sin, death, and the grave, and many difficulties related. God wants us to know that in the midst of life, and even in the face of death and despair, there is hope. There is reason to keep looking up. The Apostle Peter said it this way in 1 Peter 1:3. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a what? A living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." We have this hope, this living hope within inside of us because of our faith in Jesus. The love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. The power of his Spirit has been released in our lives, and we don't look at life the same. In the midst of whatever life may bring us, we glory in his resurrection, and there is a difference in persons who do that. I had a student named Marvin in our Methodist youth group when I was just out of college, whose dad had died when Marvin was in junior high. Afterwards, I watched him grow up with his mom and older brother in the household. Life was not easy for them. Sometimes they needed assistance with food or rent. Marvin regularly needed a scholarship for youth trips. But Marvin always spoke positively of God's power in his life. After he graduated high school, he'd call me out of the blue to tell me how things were going. He was working in a mailroom. He was part of the big and tall club. Marvin had grown to be 6 foot 7 inches tall. He had this job or that. I was always glad to hear from him. Near his 29th birthday, he called me and asked if I'd perform a wedding. What? His fiancée, Donna, was beautiful, and Marvin was grateful to God for bringing them together, still as full of hope and faith as he'd ever been. And then, 7 years later, I got the call that Marvin had been killed in a tragic car accident. His family asked me to do the funeral. As we gathered and reflected on Marvin's life, I heard how his faith and hope had only grown stronger over time. He worked picking up donations for a thrift store. In the nursery at church, Marvin would stretch out his 6'7" frame on the floor and let kids crawl all over him. Love for his wife, Donna, and the testimony of God's goodness and power in his life was his regular conversation. Where does a young man who experienced the kinds of disadvantages and adversity that I've never faced find the hope and the power to live life to the full? Before his father, John, had died, he had pointed Marvin to faith in Jesus. He had told him to hold on to Jesus, and Marvin did that. He held on to his faith in Jesus and lived with living hope all his days. We glory in Jesus' resurrection. So what did God want us to know, hear, and experience at Easter? So many things have been written. You can devote an entire lifetime to the topic, and every time you look at it, at different times in life, you may see different things. But there are at least two things that I want to lift up today from John's telling of the Easter story. Two small details that point toward the meaning of Easter for us here in 2023. Our text today from John 20:11 says that Mary Magdalene stood outside the empty tomb weeping. And in each of the gospel accounts, Mary Magdalene was a key person in the story. She was one of the disciples of Jesus Christ. Typically, we talk about the men, but there were women too. They traveled from town to town with them. We're told that a group of them traveled with Jesus and the apostles from Galilee down to Judea, where Jesus would be crucified. They supported Jesus' ministry with their time, talents, and money. Mary Magdalene had wrestled with demons in her life, her very own personal demons. And when she encountered Jesus, Jesus set her free. She was whole, and in him she experienced an unconditional love. Now set aside what foolishness you may have learned from Dan Brown's Da Vinci Code, that Jesus might have had a romantic interest in Mary Magdalene. There's no evidence of that in the Gospels. But John's gospel tells us that she was one of the women there at the foot of the cross. Other than John, the other disciples were off in a distance, afraid. But these women stood there courageously by Jesus' side so that he didn't have to suffer and die alone. The gospel tells us that Mary Magdalene was there when they buried him in the tomb, when Jesus' body was laid in the tomb by Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea. The next day, they all huddled together, traumatized by what had happened. Evil seemed to have the final word. Death had rained down upon them. Mary Magdalene was at the tomb early that first Easter morning because it was the closest she could get to Jesus. And while she stood there, she wept. Her tears remind us of our tears. Sometimes weeping is all we can do after what happens in our lives. Loved ones die. Friends leave. We lose a job. Tragedy strikes. Heartache comes. This is part of the human condition. None of us is immune. And yet, the resurrection reminds us that in these difficult times, when all seems hopeless and lost, God speaks. And what does God say through Jesus' resurrection? Evil will never have the final word. The day of sorrow, death, and despair is never the final event. God says the worst things are never the last things. Though sin and injustice put Jesus on the cross and death reigned that day, it was not the end of the story. There is always hope. Post hope in the chat. That's the message of Easter. After she encountered Jesus at the tomb, Mary was forever changed. She never looked at life the same, no matter how difficult the circumstances. The apostles, too, after the resurrection, lived bold, courageous lives and faced death again and again without fear, forever changed. That's our story. The resurrection reminds us that whatever our circumstances, evil will not have the final word. The worst things are never the last things. There is always hope. John Wesley said this in his sermon on the resurrection of the dead. So may I say to all who are born of God, fear not to go down into the grave. Lay down your heads in the dust, for God will certainly bring you up again, and that in a much more glorious manner. Only be ye steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We have much to look forward to. One more thing I want you to see. Jesus' tomb was in the middle of a garden. Matthew, Mark, and Luke don't mention this, but John thought this detail was important. John 19:41 says, at the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden, a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid. Why does John mention this? Consider this. John writes with Genesis in mind. Remember how John starts his gospel, in the beginning was the Word? And how does Genesis start? In the beginning, God created. John has Genesis in mind. John's gospel ends in a garden. Where does Genesis begin? In a garden, with Adam and Eve. Some people take that story very literally, others more figuratively, but the Adam and Eve story teaches us what the ideal human experience was meant to be. Us communing together with our Creator God in the midst of a paradise, a garden. And it was that way until Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit. And now their story is our story. Paradise has been lost. That original communion is broken, and our world is far from Eden. We read about all the problems of our world every day, and yet John is trying to point us back to that Eden story in his gospel, to say that Jesus has come to fix what is broken. Paradise had been lost, but Christ came to restore what was broken, to reverse the curse of that original act of sin. Jesus did overcome the curse of sin and death. He broke the burden of our sins, our iniquities on the cross, and he won victory over death and the grave when God raised him back to life. That is something to shout about. The curse is broken. The redemptive work of God has begun. And with God, there is always hope. Sometimes it springs forth unexpectedly, or in ways we could not conceive. But in God's economy, there is always hope. And one more thing. With new hope comes new responsibility, too. God has not won this great victory through the cross and resurrection solely for our benefit. No, God is interested in reaching the whole world with this good news. John Wesley said, untold millions are still untold. And God is looking for you and me to help. There is still work to do, people to reach, justice to be established, wrongs to be made right, the kingdom of God as he envisions it, that it might be fully established upon the earth. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! So, let's pray about that. And whether you've been a longtime follower of Christ or someone who's just been thinking about it, if today you say, I need that hope, I want that assurance, I encourage you to join me in a prayer. I'll say a line and you can say the words after me under your breath. So let's begin. Lord, help me to trust you. Lord, I thank you that you'll never leave me. Lord, I'm thankful that the worst thing is never the last thing. Lord, I give my life to you. Lord, I accept the gift you offer me. Lord, forgive my sins. Count me as one of your disciples. Grant me hope. Lord, help me to follow you. Lord, give me the courage to do the work still yet to be done. And Lord Jesus, I pray you will enable us to be Easter people. Forgive our sins. Draw us close to you. Enable us to be people of hope. Heal, deliver, establish, and set free those who need a touch from you today, Lord Jesus. It's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hey, if you want to visit with me about the message, I'd love to hear from you. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, again, send them to us. We want to pray for you. And thank you for your generosity. Your ongoing gifts are helping us to reach new people for Jesus and His kingdom. You can go online using the app or the website anytime. Be sure to take advantage of our discipleship opportunities. Find all the information you need on our website, cumctulsa.com. Remember this, evil will not have the final word. There is always hope. He is risen. He is risen indeed. For now, who do you know that needs these same words of encouragement and hope in their life? You can share with them.
You know, I came in late the other day.
Okay.
And Pastor Bob was like, where have you been? And I was like, you know what? Good employees are hard to find.
Mark your calendars for a one-day retreat at Camp Lockridge. $35 gets you breakfast, lunch, and a day of fellowship with other men. The van leaves at 7:30 a.m. and sign-up is at the Connect Center.
Every stage of parenting has its challenges. We have a monthly support group for parents of adult children that will meet April 16th at 5 p.m. Contact Kathy Feist or Jill Prey for more information.
The United Women in Faith will meet on Thursday, April 13th at 10 a.m. to review the book Rewired, an Amputee Miracle. On May 11th, we'll have a salad luncheon with a special speaker from Dress for Success. For more information, please contact Deborah Hager.
You can find all of this information and more on our website, cumctulsa.com.